We are starting part 10, Manner of Life. And as I spent like about 8 hours in the car the last couple days, a smelly car like fish, I got a little while to get that smell out of there. I just keep rehashing what we're talking about here and what it's like to be following Paul. I've been writing with a guy that, he's been writing to me. I haven't taken the time to write to him yet. I've sent him some questions and stuff. You know, when you watch everybody just justify in their own ways, Peter calls it resting the scriptures in the tribulational days, and how people just don't want to look into this thing that properly, I guess. But we're looking at number 10, and when we realize that this manner of life is just how we be as a Christian, we recognize the fact that there's a lot of this stuff a good moral person can do. Someone who's been brought up in early moral America, or been brought up with a moral family, which would be a religious family, more likely, not just some rebelliously worldly, modern, liberated type of a person. But yet again, even some of those people, when they wear their hair gooky and the old men wear their pink ponytails and they pop in the earrings, you know, or the young people want to look, the guys somehow think they look like Jesus or something when they wear their hair really long, long, long. And they've got some perverted lifestyle. Anybody that's got something that's rebellious, they come across still very kind, very nice, very polite. You know, they want people to realize that, hey, I may be doing something abnormal in your eyes, but I am still a nice person. And then a lot of the older people say, oh, yes, he's dressing weird, but, you know, he's such a nice person. And they just overlook all that stuff. We just go along with the flow. And realizing that in some cases we do go, what are you going to do? Why fight him, I guess? Well, there's reasons for it. But this manner of life, let me review really quickly here, because we have not had the general Izzel Dreisel Eels here with us for quite a while. And we discover our salvation with Paul. We decide some questions here. Men pleasers or please God? Then we ask ourselves these questions. Where are you going to get your directions from? Which book? Which set of directions? Who are you going to follow? Which apostle? Which commission? What's your purpose? Whose faith? Sincere or silly? So those are the questions we ask ourselves. To whom will you cleave? Ashamed or not? Which church are you going to go to? What if you can't find a church? What are you going to do? How are you going to go ahead and live the way you should with your Bible if you haven't got a church to go to? We are so hooked on church attendance, and we will put up with anything just so we can go to church somewhere. I'm seeing that. It just amazes me. When we know something's going wrong within our church, we just all sit back and let it go wrong, I guess. I puzzle at that stuff, you know. Back in my church and days, I wish somebody would come up to me with their Bible and says, hey, you know, I don't think you're right. And the few times anybody ever said anything, they always came back next week and they said, hey, you were right. And it's not because I'm right. It's because the Bible says what it says, and we just need to be able to divide it in such that it sticks out like a sore thumb in our life. And then the question, the challenge comes, what do we do with our walk? So all these guys that are challenging, whether it should be or should not be Paul, or whatever they get into, they just, and these are the guys that when they mess up, they think they have to confess their sins or they no longer have fellowship with God. So, and they think we're weird, you know, kind of a thing. So then we get into depart from iniquity. We are to change our lives. We are to despise for the sake of others. We're to destroy for the sake of others. This is religion stuff. We pray for others. We have tears because of others, for others, and we're aware of their tears. You know, when you see, I don't, you know, even my almost my worst enemy, I hate to see their feelings hurt. I hate to see feelings, you know. It's just, you get your feelings messed up, your day is ruined, and it can get very scary, and it can just very, very sad. I hate to see anybody get their feelings hurt, you know. We have grace towards others. We have to have truth towards others. We can't have grace without truth. We can't have truth without grace, that type of thing. And then we talked about the untouchable nesses, the ones that are towards other people. These are hard for us. Kindness, lowliness, meekness, humbleness, and long-suffering and forbearance, which are not nesses, but they still fit into those categories. Then we talked about mercy towards others and patience with others. And today, it's just kind of like, well, we're getting close to the stuff that makes us different, makes us challenge things and challenge people, and we're not quite there yet. But I want to restate that we don't just take these first things. We don't just spend all our life praying for people. We'd be such a prayer warrior. We don't just get bitter towards and despite this religion and destroy it. That's not just all we do. We don't just park on truth. We don't just park on grace. If you park on grace and you just that's all you have as a Christian for everybody else, then you're nothing but a modern Christian, if you're Christian, kind of a thing. And if you park on truth only, then you're a ruckmanite, or you're one of those Bible scholars that lumps people and likes to go in a corner and just jam people in their brains with your Bible knowledge, and you think you're doing so great. Some of you people are easier at being kind to others than some of us, and lowliness, humbleness, you know, meekness. And then mercy and patience. Now, if we just stick with those things, or one of those things, then we're still not being what we need to be as far as following Paul goes. But before we get into the reprove and the rebuke and the avoid this and the stuff that really separates us from the crowd, we're going to look at one other little point here. Then maybe tonight, I was thinking, we might look at the apostles tonight, because there's some confusion in there, I think, possibly, because Paul is one. So when we say we're following Paul as our apostle, does it say not to follow the other apostles anywhere? Do we just ignore those guys? Or what? How does this all fit in? And you'll see that it helps us differentiate between following Paul as an apostle and the other guys as apostles. And were they ever informed of what's going on with Paul? Kind of stuff like that. We'll see. Just this morning, let's touch a little bit here on honesty. Honesty, or honestly, doing something honestly. Walk in honestly. Now, that really won't bother anybody until that honesty is actually honest. You know, and sometimes being honest in a situation is either going to get you in trouble or make somebody mad or hurt somebody's feelings. And then we got to go back and we look at truth, and we look at grace, we look at mercy. How do we fit into this honestly stuff without doing damage? Type of a look at here this morning. So as we just kind of generally look at this thing, we're going to see that, you know, you find yourself in an awkward position when you want to be honest. If you think, I got to be honest here. Well, let's look here. Before we jump into the thing detailed here, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's just remind ourselves a few things here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's okay for us to eventually come across different to people. And I guess being honest about something would be very different towards other people, because they're not even honest towards us. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know the verse. So I got the right reference here. Oh, my page is popping out here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, if we were a new creation, we could be corrupted again. So we know the word isn't creation, but a lot of Bibles say that. So anyway, we're a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. So if old things are passed away, why do we allow ourselves to bring that old stuff back and we fight that stuff? Well, Paul says, you know, we serve the mind, our mind serves the law of God, and our flesh serves the law of sin. So no, that's the answer. But still, we are a new creature. Our walk should be different. Our attitude should be different. And maybe it's not hard for some of you to be kind after you're saved any more than it was before you were saved. But we have to see here that when we're a new creature, all things are passed away. Even all of our good things were passed away. Because that says old things are passed away. It doesn't say bad things. It says old things. So all the stuff that we were before we were saved, maybe you were just a very kind, gentle person. Well, those years of being kind and gentle, all that stuff is gone, and now we have to trust His kindness. It's His grace. It's His mercy. I think a lot of people might find out that when they truly get saved and they look into Paul's teachings here, that it was easier to be the good person before you were saved. Because when you're a good person before you were saved, we picked and chose. We picked and chose. We've done picked and done chosen what it was that we and who it was we were going to be kind to and nice to and gentle. You know, we picked. And now that we're that new creature, we have to look to the book. We have to look to the book for our walk. And we're different. We should be different than we were than when we, before we were saved. Now, what about the times that maybe there's a possibility that some of us said we got saved, but maybe we really didn't yet. Maybe we really weren't saved. Maybe we still had another Jesus, but we got religion. Then you get into the religion stuff, and you get into some of the difficulties and some of the confusions, and our bitterness comes out, and our anger comes out, and we start whacking on people or talking about people or whatever. All the things that still go on with our flesh, which is serving the law of sin, and we're actually doing it because sin still isn't dead to us. We're still not dead to sin. We're just trying to walk a better religious walk. How many people do we talk to on a day-to-day basis that are nice people? They're good people. They're conservative, if you want to put that one in there, but they're nice to be around and not a problem. They love you and all this stuff. But are they truly a new creature? Or are they just going on their own strength? When you realize that most of the people we talk to that go to church, they go to church and they're being taught how to take care of their old nature and do a better job with it. Well, we're not going to do a better job with our old nature because we're not going to last long enough. We're going to go back the way it was. We're trying to fix it. We're going to go back eventually. So this psychology in the pulpit stuff is just baloney. And there's tons of it. There's just tons of it. And kids, Sunday school kids, they're taught to be so good and taught to be the honest little Christian and the good little Christian and the nice little Christian and not to fight with their brothers and all this kind of junk. And they're being taught how to handle their old nature. Well, are they going to even understand this stuff? Most of them don't. So should we be having Sunday school? Then get into that question. Then we've been in there where I got rid of that kind of stuff eventually. You know, it ends back and everybody just wants to take the kids and you teach them stuff that they have no idea what you're talking about. And they don't see it at home anyway. So you bring in the music and you bring in the pictures, these goofy pictures of Moses with the curly hair, and the kids are watching videos about VeggieTales, you know, and vegetables that are talking. And if you watch those movies, those Bible studies, it's always good over evil, and it's works. Kids' stuff is mostly offered by works. Then you get them into Sunday summer school, you know, vacation Bible school, and they got some creature, some pirate, or some animal that was bad, but now is good, you know. So we still bring our kids up under the good or bad works thing. They can say what they want. Or they tell them to ask Jesus into your heart, and then they grow up thinking they're saved, and their old nature still takes control of them, and they're still, not only is their flesh serving sin, but their mind is, because they haven't had anything changed. They haven't died yet. All sorts of things to look at in the walk. So what we're looking at here this morning, if we're going to add honesty to our list, that could cause problems. How can being kind to somebody really cause it? Really isn't going to cause a problem. Your tears are, nobody's even going to know you have tears. And having grace towards other people, your pride gets all tweaked because you don't want them to know that I'm giving you grace in what you're doing. I still don't like what you're doing, though. See, we really have a hard time with that. We don't want them to know that we're having grace, that we're going along with them. So Paul does say, listen, with this grace, you've got to have some truth in there. We don't have to just go along with them. We're there with them, but we still have that little salt in our speech. But if we drop that salt out, you are no different participating with what they're doing than what they're doing. Other than the fact that you are the new creature, and that'll burn in the judgment seat, which we know that. So, we're a new creature. Things should be differently. Should be different. Should be differently. Should be done differently. And we are different. We're supposed to be. We should be. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for a minute here. There's a long list in this first Second Corinthians chapter 6 stuff. There's a long list here, and it talks about Paul, and yet it talks about the people that are with him together, and that would be us if we were to be there at the time. You know, really. He says in verse 1, we then, look at verse 20 of chapter 5, as our ambassadors for Christ. So, we're in this together. We're a new creature. We're in this together, ambassadors for Christ now. We're not ashamed of Christ, nor are we ashamed of Paul. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Parentheses. Because he always follows something up, he says, with the parentheses that might be stirring. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So you really, truly have the real Jesus there. Give me no offense in anything. Well, that's tough. That the ministry be not blamed. I couldn't say that as a pastor. I know that. I mean, even doing the right thing will offend people. Even saying the right thing will offend somebody, and they'll bother you. They'll try to harass you for how you said what you said. Well, let's get over how I said what I said. Let's deal with what it was that I said according to the scriptures. But we won't do that. People don't do that. Now, here we go. Verse 4. He goes on and he explains his ministry and these people that are workers together. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In other words, you were there to please God. So if we're talking about the manner of life, we want to please God. Well, here's what's going to happen. If we put all this stuff together and we finally get done to this thing, put it all together, here's what it's going to be like. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, had to have patience. It says much patience. In afflictions. In necessities. Necessities, we've talked about this before, it's a state of want. These are some things that we want, these things that we need here, in necessities here. In distresses. In stripes. And in his days, that was whippings. And we can take a verbal whipping today. That's kind of what we'll be looking at today, although there are some that will get hurt for it physically. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings. Watchings, not sleeping, you know. In watchings, in fastings. Now, those two verses, if you were to write these things down in a list, those are the things that it says in. In much patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, and fastings. Fastings? Yeah, during Paul's time, sure. Now, we can talk about fasting sometime. You want to fast? Well, you can do a hell fast. Doesn't hurt you. Want to do a spiritual fast? And if you can, you know, not and deny yourself the flesh and all that kind of stuff, will God love you more? No. Will you be able to get a better decision? No. What's the purpose of fasting today? I see none, other than maybe for your own personal growth, your own personal health. Your own spirituality can grow if all you do is, when you get hungry, you want to feed yourself on the Word of God. I mean, there's all ways to look at this stuff. But to take a fast and try to convince God to change what's going on, Paul doesn't teach that. Now, number 6, getting back on the subject here, number 6, verse 6, these are the things that are by. So, in much patience, afflictions, etc., etc., by, as being that ambassador for Christ, by pureness, which he's made us pure, knowledge of him, long-suffering, kindness, by the Holy Ghost, well, sure. What do we get from the Holy Ghost? We get his love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So this being, this new creature, is going to take the Holy Ghost in our lives, in ourselves, to buy, you know, do those things, patience, in much patience, afflictions, by the Holy Ghost, by being kind, by long-suffering, by love unfeigned, it says there. An unfeigned truth, an unfeigned love is a true love, not a confused love, not a distorted love, It's real. It's true. It says, by the word of truth, which you have, King James Bible, by the power of God. So, yeah, we still trust in the power of God, but it's not some magical power. It's by reading this book and we see what it is that we should be doing, and He will give us the strength. He tells us how He'll do it through tribulations, working with patience. We know that stuff. He says, by the arm of righteousness on His right and left hand. Well, it's His righteousness, though. So now it says, by honor and dishonor, evil report and good report. Now, this sounds like it would be confusing, but it's not. Now, the rest of those verses, it goes as. So we have in, we have by these things, and as if we were, as deceivers, and yet true. So we come across to people as deceivers, but yet true, as unknown. Not yet well known. And you look back at Paul and his people, you know, they're accused of being deceivers, but yet they were not. They were accused of being unknown, like, who are you? I mean, How did you? No, they're well known. They know all about you. As dying, and behold, we live. And yet most of us, in our day-to-day walk, and I'm guilty, walk as if we're dying. Oh, it's almost over. God's coming here pretty soon, and whine. We can be that way. We find ourselves being that way, as chastened and not killed. So that's you know, where do we? I thought you said God doesn't chasten us. Oh, He chastens us all right with His words. He chews us out. He teaches us all these things. He guides us. He rebukes us. He reproves us through the Scriptures. Anyway, we'll depart on that thing. So as chastened. But it doesn't kill us, not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. We as a Paul following Christian, it's sorrowful to see what's going on with people. But yet always rejoicing. And it doesn't say always, it says always. Always is details of rejoicings, but always a state of mind. We're always in a rejoicing state of mind. Always. We're always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, but yet possess everything. Possessing all things. So you look at that whole list on your own. Write them down sometime. One column, write down the in. One column, write down the word by. And one column, write down the word as. And there's a whole bunch of lessons in there for us. And then you read verse 11. I've got to get back to where I was after 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. So after everything that he says, and when we understand those things, you know, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is, our mouth is open unto you. What does that mean? It means that our mouth wants to tell them something. Now, verse 12, you're not straightened in us, but ye are straightened in your own bowels. Paul tells everybody everything he needs to tell them, and the workers that are with him, and yet it's them, the people that they're talking to, their mouth is enlarged, it's those are the people that do the growing. You're not straightened in us. I mean, we're not going to fix you, but ye are straightened in your own bowels. You're the one that changes your life. Just like it says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, you got to get out of the snare yourself. And you're not changing your life. You're not changing your modesty. You're not changing your actions. You're not changing your words because of me or because of a pastor or because of what you've... No, you're doing it yourself because it is your decision. I get so tired of hearing that people blame me for being their Holy Spirit in life. I think I'm trying to be their Holy Spirit. And no, I'm just showing you the Scriptures, and you show people the Scriptures, and you'll be accused of being, what are you trying to be the Holy Spirit in my life? No, I'm just trying to show you what the Bible says. You know, I was thinking the other day, too, in those 8 hours in the car, it's getting to be like in this country, in this world, that it's against the law to try to change somebody's mind. Haven't you ever wanted, cared for somebody enough that you want to help change their mind about something? Didn't somebody ever want to change your mind about something, but you stuck up for what you believed or what you thought? Boy, to try to change someone's mind, it's like, it's just forbidden anymore, even try. You're just going to make them mad. Why? Why can't we talk about this? Why can't we have a discussion here? I'd like to try to change your mind and to follow Paul. Okay, instead of just getting mad at me, how about you trying to change my mind to get back into this denomination or whatever? Go ahead, try to change my mind. But they just leave it alone. And my thoughts here with this being a different kind of a Christian, we're different, we're a new creature now, that they don't want to hear what you have to say. But they're not going to try to tell you what they believe, and why shouldn't we try to believe them? So if they think that they're right, you following me with this? If they think that they're right, why don't they try to change our mind? I'm game. I'm willing. Somebody show me something here. And I've heard somebody say, you know, he said, go ahead and show me. You can't prove me I'm wrong. No, I'm saying, go ahead, show me something. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me this talking about Paul is incorrect. And different people will try. They'll ask questions. Well, gosh, I don't know about that one. I've never seen that. That's a good question. And I'll show you the answer. Is it because I got so smart? No, it's not that way at all. A rightly divided Bible should be able to answer all the questions. Maybe that's why they don't want to try to get us to change our mind. Well, we don't care. We don't care that we don't love you. We just want you to quit bugging us. Well, if you're so right, why don't you try to change my mind? If what I'm doing is wrong, if I'm trying to be more kind, I'm trying to be more gentle, I'm trying to have some humbleness to me for a change, trying to exhibit grace in your life with a little truth, a little salt of truth, I have to destroy this religion that has destroyed me and other people that I care about. Okay, change my mind. Go ahead. Show me. Try to. And when these things start to take place, we're going to see some other things as we get into the tougher part of being the Christian here, like probably next week. You know, the hard stuff, the stuff that separates us. Anybody can be kind. Anybody can be nice. They can be patient. They can have grace for you. Why don't they have grace for us? Well, they could, but they don't. They expect us to have grace for them. Where's their mercy? Where's their patience towards us? So when this starts to come out, then we start to see where Paul says, in afflictions, in stripes, in distresses, in labors, in watchings. That's when this stuff's going to start getting tough. Doing the walk of a Christian by looking to Paul is not all that difficult for parts of it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I realize that we're in Corinthians, and people get all tweaked up here with Corinthians. Well, how can you say that this is where you're picking and choosing? No, there's things that happened in Corinthians that don't happen today, and obviously it's because of the King James Bible. That which is perfect has come. Then that other stuff that was going on there is done in part. That's done with now. We have that which is perfect. Because if we don't have that which is perfect, then we just have another Bible like everybody else. Common sense. So we still look in Corinthians, and we still realize that these things are going to happen. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God has sent forth us, the apostles, last. Well, who's he talking about here with the apostles? Go back and read through the whole thing in front of that stuff. As they say, look at the context. And you'll see that this is still talking about Paul and his people. But Paul here, he's an apostle. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. So if you want to talk to people about this risen Savior, about the words of the... You become a spectacle if you stick with it. We don't want to become a spectacle. So we back off. And there are those that want to go out and they be a spectacle just to be a spectacle. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about being a Christian who follows Paul's walk and his ways. You will be made a spectacle unto the world. Unto the world. It's really sad that other so-called Christians don't accept us or whatever it is we believe. And to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. See, we're talking to a different crowd here. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even until this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So some of his people, sons, meaning those that he led to the Lord spiritually, have turned. Or they're making some different things that they're going on. And they come across as being very strong and very true. And yet they're just doing it in their flesh. I've come to realize, and it's probably why I need to quit writing to this one guy. I haven't really much started. If somebody doesn't understand that there is a problem, something's not right, then you're not going to be able to show them anything about Paul. Paul says here, you know, we're fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. So what do we have to say to anybody else? Now, let's go to... where's my stuff here? I got it right here in front of me. Thought I did anyway. Yep, right here in front of me. Let's go here to Romans 13:13. Romans 13:13. I don't hear any pages flutter. I miss all that stuff to hear you participating. I miss all those days like that. Romans 13:13 says here, let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And we will talk here, instead of the apostles, we might talk about the things where Paul says not to do in our daily walk. We might look at the who knows about tonight. But he says, let us walk honestly. So this is part of our walk, is to walk honestly. Now let me read something to you here. Honestly, you're ready for this, with frank sincerity, without fraud or disguise, according to truth, by upright means, with upright conduct, fairness, candor, truth, frank sincerity again. Here's a long definition. In principle, an upright disposition, moral rectitude of heart, a disposition to conform to justice and correct moral principles in all social transactions. In fact, upright conduct, an actual conformity to justice and moral rectitude. Right. Can we do that today? In a world that is so dishonest, can we walk that way? With frank sincerity, you're just honest, you know. I'm sorry to say that, but this is what I mean. I'm just being honest with you. I like it when somebody says, "Can I tell you the truth about something?" Well, no, I want you to lie to me like you have been doing. Now, this is just kind of a silly statement you hear people say. So, this honestly thing. We're a new creature. Maybe this is one of the hardest things for us to walk honestly. Well, we're going to walk honestly. We're going to, in this way, as we walk honestly, don't forget, we are going to have this grace. We are going to have tears for others. We are going to have mercy. We are going to still talk truth. We are still going to have a grace. We're going to destroy the modern religion stuff? Well, you want to walk honestly. See, now we're starting to get into the harder stuff here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where he tells us to walk honestly. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says this. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. See, people that believe, when they hear us say that all things are lawful, well, then you can just go out. They drop you right there. And yet, these modern Christians, they're still doing stuff wrong. They just say they can confess it. But anyway. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved. You know, do you dress modestly because you are sincerely concerned about modesty? Or is it because you're fat? You've heard me say that. Do you change your voices? Have you changed your manner of life because you want to look like you're a Christian? Or is it because, as it says here, but that you should do that which is honest? I mean, are you honestly wanting to cover up? Are you honestly wanting to not talk so loud? Are you honestly wanting to not go there anymore? Are you honestly, or do you want to just appear to somebody that you're a good Christian? No. Which I think is a huge danger in a church, by the way. I've heard somebody tell me, he used to tell people all the time about the church face. Then I found out over time, the reason he always mentioned the church face, because he and she, Mr. and Mrs., he and she, were the best church face people I've ever known. Once I learned what was going on within the home, and in fact, in lots of cases, you find out what goes on in the homes. You look at the CDs they listen to, you see the TV programs, you know what's going on, you see how they dress when they're at home, amongst family, mixed family. Well, it's family. It's okay for family to see me like this. No, it isn't, especially your kids. It goes on this whole long list of stuff that people just come to church to appear approved. Why do we have church? It's a place to go for people where they pretend and they feel good about themselves, I guess. I don't know. And if they got a pastor who preaches honestly, he's not going to last long. He says again, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that you should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest. But then he says, though we be as reprobates, that's our flesh, we know we're not as good as we're trying to make people think we are, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For ye we are glad, and when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness. He's seeing these people being dishonest about being their Christianity. So he's kind of tuning them out for that thing. So this be honest thing here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go back just a couple of pages here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm about to do one. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Okay, let's be strong with what we have as a Paul person. That's our ministry. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What would that be? I mean, how do you renounce hidden things of dishonesty? Well, not walking in craftiness. In other words, there's people out there that are being crafty as all get out. And you know that. They're trying to manipulate you. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. We handle the Word of God truthfully. Anybody with a different Bible, with a Greek history, or different teachings not rightly dividing, they're actually handling the Word of God deceitfully, if they have a King James Bible, obviously. So we should renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. 1 Timothy 2:2. How are we doing for time? Well, 1 Timothy. Oh, my pages are so thin. Well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look at verse 1 and 2. I better write that down. 1 and 2 here for the notes if I get caught up. I exhort, therefore, the first of all, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men. Why should we do it? Because Paul tells us to. It's just that simple. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? For kings and for all that are in authority. What's our purpose here? What's our goal? Well, our goal is this, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godlessness and honesty. That still should be our goal in our walk. And we pray that we can do this as long as we possibly can. Can you imagine reading that verse during the World War II era, for example? But it existed during then. See, we think we're having tough times. We're in a depression worse than the other depression. Well, you wouldn't know it by all the stuff that everybody's buying still. You wouldn't know with all the entertainment and fun and parties going on. You just want to, within your home, want a quiet and peaceable life. That's just what you want. In all godliness and honesty. Okay? There's going to be challenges all the time for a quiet and peaceable life. We know that. United Nations doing some of the stuff they're coming up with. The government coming up with the stuff they're coming up with here. And people that are living in the flood areas and the government trying to buy their land at a cheap. I mean, there's so much attack going on. We know all the things that are going on. But during all that stuff, we still want to have a quiet and peaceable life. And during that quiet and peaceable life, we still have to maintain a godliness and honesty. It's just all you want within your home. And you ship your kids off to government school. Look what the government school does. It takes care of your quiet and peaceable lifestyle. And certainly you get rid of the godliness and honesty. You've got to get rid of that stuff because that's not even possible to live that way. It's not even practical. Well, yes, it is. But that's your unique home right there. So what we looked at this morning, it sounds kind of confusing in some respects. We looked at just the honesty aspect of it. But if we're going to be honest, truthfully honest, there are going to be times that are going to bring us towards the negative side of being the Paul follower, the afflictions, the stripes, the tumults, the labors, the watchings, the concerns we have, the battles, the challenges here. They're going to look at us as a deceiver, but yet we're speaking the truth. The whole list that we talked about earlier. So are we ready to start to get into the harder portions of this whole thing about being a Christian? The ways of Paul are not just grace. The mid-X crowd and grace, there's more to it than that, folks. Are we willing to look at those things? Actually, I think in some cases, many of us are more willing to look at this other stuff because this other stuff is feisty and it's manly. It's challenging to avoid this. And it gets tough, but we have to have grace with our truth. And we all have to realize that our mind, we want to do the right thing, but there's not anybody on my list or our list or anybody out on the website that's going to be watching this stuff can say to yourself, you got it together. You're a kind person. You've destroyed the religion in your past. You despise this modern religion. You do pray for everybody else. You have tears for everybody because of everybody. You've got grace and you've got truth in there. You're kind, you're lowly, you're humble, you know, right? And mercy towards others and patience, and you've answered all the questions and you go to the right place and do the right thing. Come on, be honest. Whenever you think you're starting to get it together, do you ever realize in your reading that Paul, the risen Savior through Paul, always finds something that says, oh man, I sure don't have that one together. So, it doesn't take long for God to chastise us and reprove us and rebuke us. He just does it through the words. But one of the things to add to our list is to walk honestly.